Thanks, Andrea. Ray, did you want to open the meeting? You're muted.
There we go. Okay. All right. Light colors in the order. The Morgan County Arden Valley RPO meeting. You can see those on the agenda. I'd like to first off call for approval of the January meeting minutes. They were sent out. I've had a chance to read those or not. Anybody would like to make a motion to approve those?
John or Gabe?
Yeah, so sorry, I was on mute. I'd make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion to approve and seconded the January meeting minutes. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those who approve the motion, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, hearing none, I'll declare the motion approved. January minutes then are approved. Is there anybody here joined on from the public making any public comments? I don't see anybody. Do you see anybody?
No.
Okay, we'll go past that. Item number four on the agenda then is the COVID impacts to travel and revenue. Julie, do you want to address that one then?
Yeah, so can you guys see you see my screen that says agenda with the agenda on it?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So I just pulled some data I wanted to share with you about how COVID has been impacting travel and sales and revenue. And so some of the data is not specific necessarily to I have Morgan County data, and then I have some Weber County data, and I don't have specific to the Ogden Valley, but I'll kind of just paint a picture of what's happening within the state, and I think a lot of it still will apply to the region here. So UDOT has, and so I'll share this presentation after the meeting, and all of these are linked up here so you can see where I'm getting the data. So I'm just gonna, this is I-15 in Weber County, and it's on the obviously the Wasatch Front. So this is showing you over the last 8 months how traffic has changed between this time this year and this time last year. And you can see in both cases along I-15 at Ogden, Pleasant View, and Roy, a dip when COVID started hitting and we started shutting down the economy in March. And then as time goes up, a little bit of an increase. So April and May kind of dipped in the middle of people kind of started getting back to their travel patterns. In Weber County, this graphic is showing you these thicker lines are the average weekday average, day of the week average. So you can see like they generally decrease because I-15 is more of a commuter on the weekends and then come back up for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so you can see sort of at the beginning of the, at the beginning of the years that we were hitting sort of the average travel. And as COVID started in April and May, we started seeing that reduction. And recently, it's been coming back up and kind of hitting the averages, you can see, as time goes on. So it really paints a picture that people were being really serious about limiting travel and staying home at the beginning of COVID. And as time has gone on, kind of have returned to a lot of their regular travel patterns. It's more pronounced in Davis County than in Weber County. And I think that this is mostly because more commuters are going into Salt Lake. And so as fewer commuters are going into Salt Lake and more people are telecommuting, the closer you get into Salt Lake, the more dramatic sort of that dip in April and May, and the longer it kind of takes to recover. But you can see here, even in I-15 in Davis County, we're not quite back at normal. And then I pulled this one from Moab, because Zion and Moab, you could really see that difference and how stay-at-home orders and people traveling not as often really hit the tourist area. So this is the average traffic again in gray, and then the dip that they experienced. And now, as the summer is heating up, and we're shifting from red to orange to yellow and green, more and more people are starting to travel. So we also have some data from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics that show us how people are staying home. So this is over the course of the year, and you can see Morgan County is in the red, and then all of Weber County is in the green. But about 20% at the beginning of the year, more people were staying home as kind of we were ramping up. And then as the economy started opening back up, less people started staying home. But interestingly enough, those numbers are kind of going up again. So I don't know if that's that kind of relates to COVID cases going up. I'm not sure if that's also the heat, or people are just not traveling as much because it's hot and they might come back down. But you can see in the data that people were taking the stay-at-home orders seriously. And then this is the same year compared to last year. So you can see compared to last year, it was typically the same, and you can see how much more dramatic it is than last year. So we're thinking, this is showing at the peak in April that about 7% more people, or you know, is going from, if it was 30% this year, it was 23% last year. So 7 percentage points more people were staying home. So that's a significant number of people who are kind of being serious about that. But that travel, so this is, again, it's just a different way of seeing how many people were staying home. And then that's similar to what's happening in Weber County. Part of that is because people are taking, you know, fewer trips. So this is Morgan County trips per day, and you can just see the decline compared to previous years. And last year, there was just under 60,000 trips coming from Morgan County, and now it's about 40,000 trips. Weber County is similar to that. You can see a sharp decline as the year goes on. And where we should have been last year was way up here, and now we're way down here. So part of that is that people are taking fewer trips, but they're also staying closer to where they're living. And so that's, Ted in our office refers to that as the great localization. So people are typically staying closer to their home. They're working, there's more people telecommuting. There's about, I want to say, 70% more people. Let me look it up really quick. Oh, 40% more people are telecommuting now than they were this time last year. So you can see that in the trip decline. And then those who are traveling are typically staying closer by. So they're shopping maybe, this is for Morgan County, shopping maybe more in Morgan County than going to Weber and Davis County for their groceries, or they need something from the hardware store. So you can even see the number of trips, this is last year in 2019, and you can see that it's from no trips up to like 14,000 trips per day. And now the chart just sort of maxes out at just over 8,000 trips a day. Compared to last year, where there's a lot more trips in the 10 to 25 mile range, there's more trips happening as a percentage of trips in the sort of less than 5 mile range. So I think this illustrates, you know, there's fewer trips and people are staying closer to home. And then that has led to a decrease in motor fuel sales. So the darker colors are motor fuel that was sold last year, and the lighter colors is motor fuel that's sold this year. And you can see it was holding sort of either steady or slightly above last year until we hit March. And in March to April, there was a dramatic decline over where we should be seeing motor fuel sales, which continued. I don't have data after May, so that probably is coming up a little bit. But you can see between April of this year and April of last year, there's a 34% decrease in motor fuel sales. And between May of last year and May of this year, there's an 18% decrease in the motor fuel. So that change in motor fuel obviously affects how much revenue is being brought into the state transportation fund. They thought, the state budget office thought at the beginning of the year that there would be about a 4.6% increase in motor fuel income revenue from this last year to this year. And now that the fiscal year is closed, they saw that it was actually a decline of about 3%, 2.9%. So instead of getting $537 million of motor fuel taxes that went to the state transportation fund to pay for our large infrastructure projects, only about $500 million came in there. So motor fuel taxes also go to fund the BNC. So there'll be a slight decrease in BNC revenue as well. On the sales tax front, and this is going back to that more localization comment. I know there's a lot of numbers on this chart, but this is at the county level. And at the bottom here, I've put the percentage increase from between last year and this year. So while in most counties, you saw a decline in percentage increase, for instance, in Salt Lake, you can see it was 8% increase, 10% increase, and then March hit and we started going negative, and then May, came back. That's sort of the same growth decline, and then coming back happened in Davis and Weber County. But in Morgan County, it was the only county in our region that the dip was barely noticeable. And then in May, April and May, the taxable sales and purchases that's happened in Morgan County have just gone up. And so I don't know if that is a large store opened in Morgan County, but for me, that suggests that people are staying within the county to purchase things and not traveling as far, going to Weber and Davis County for, you know, groceries, hardware, other things. Do you guys in Morgan County, what is your take on sort of that dramatic increase in the percentage of taxable sales that's been happening?
We were the last people to have toilet paper. No, we did notice a lot. So our hardware store, so we have a True Value, Tractor Supply, and then our grocery store, it is correct. A lot of people just discovered that we do have everything, most everything that we need locally. Really, the only thing we don't have is lumber. And a lot of people stayed home doing home improvement projects, working on their yards, that sort of thing. So, anyway, Mayor, unless you have other comments, we did see a lot of people shopping.
People are staying at home, as the traffic indicates. People stayed at home. Many more people work from home. Part of the drain we've known in the past is as people work down on the office front, they buy their goods and commodities when they're down there at work. But since they were at home and working from home and staying home, they shopped locally.
It's too bad you guys didn't pass your local option sales tax last year. And so I also pulled those numbers for the cities and town and down unincorporated part of the county. So you can see the difference between what's happening specifically when we look at Morgan City, that's where we're seeing that dramatic increase, which is, I think goes to the point that the rest of the county doesn't have a lot of services, right? Because those numbers, taxable sales and the unincorporated part of the county are pretty even. And then in Weber County, unfortunately, the unincorporated part includes all of unincorporated Weber County, not just the back. But in Huntsville, you also see sort of that dramatic increase in revenue when you look at the percentages. So I think that's the same story in Huntsville. People who can stay within the area are staying within the area to make the purchases that they were usually making outside of the area where they live.
Julie, so, I think in Huntsville, we can credit a lot of that sales tax revenue to the people that have come up and enjoyed the Pine View Reservoir and Causey. We've had really a lot more people up there, big crowds compared to a year ago at our campgrounds.
Okay.
And the reservoir. So,
yeah, they have been seeing that in at other recreation places throughout the state. Dramatic doubling of people going. So that could explain that 85% increase in May, especially as the temperatures are getting. Unfortunately, I don't have data, even though it's August, the state hasn't updated their taxable sales since May, posting the May. So I don't have June and July, but you're right. We probably are likely to see that as well from recreation.
Yeah.
John, have you noticed that more people are golfing at the Wolf Creek or?
Yeah, I was going to say our sales for the year are 300% higher.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty busy.
Yeah.
It's all you can do.
And then the last thing is, I know this map is kind of not that detailed. I got this data sort of late, but this is the Strava data. So Strava is a data source, is an app that you can use when you're running or jogging or riding your bike. And it will, you know, log where you're going, how fast you're going, et cetera. So this is data from that Strava app comparing this year to last year. And as you can see, anything that's like blue is lots of more usage from last year. And anything that's in purple or pink is there's been significant increase. And then the yellow is where there's been a negative growth in Strava usage. So clearly not everyone who's bicycling in the area is using Strava. It's as good as we can do, but it's not complete. But you can see, I wanted to pull this because there's a lot of recreation bicycling that we know is happening in the RPO area. And I think that this data is showing that that's increasing even more as COVID was hitting because people were recreating more often. Have you guys noticed in the area more people bicycling over the last few months?
I think all that extra Strava data is hauling out. Yeah, it's been
not mountain biking, trips. Though.
Well, Strava is running, too. Is this just Strava mountain biking?
No, this is anyone who's biking or running or jogging, but mostly biking.
Yeah, it's probably hauling.
So, I mean, something to look out for. I know here the data that they pulled in the Wasatch Front has indicated that, bicycle use has doubled. There's a lot of bike stores that are having trouble keeping bicycles in stock. And so that's something that a lot of planners are looking for if that's going to continue as sort of we get back to work and COVID kind of eventually one day might peter out. But the point here is also that, you know, as the county and the city of Morgan County, Morgan City do their planning with UDOT on their general plans, and then hopefully you guys are doing a trail master plan. I think that this data is important to show you that there really is a need to do that planning because more and more people are going to be bicycling. Let me just see if there's anything else I wanted to mention. In terms of this, I know that the other thing I wanted to mention is the sales tax has not fallen as much as people thought it would fall. Let me pull that back up. So, like I said before, the state has seen a 2.9% decrease in the motor fuel tax revenue. And then in the general sales tax revenue, they have seen a 7.2% increase in general sales tax that go to Part of that is that you look specifically at the local option sales tax revenue, it has increased over last year because Salt Lake County had a whole quarter more for this whole year than they did last year. But then the other part of that is when you have a baby, sometimes you lose all of your vocabulary and it's just starting to come back. The stimulus checks have provided a lot of that increase that we didn't think we were going to be getting. So, and the state, the sales tax, one of the things why that number is not negative is because there was very high growth in the first three quarters of the year. And then that supported sort of the last quarter of the year declining, but it didn't decline as much as I think a lot of people thought it would because there was a stimulus checks and maybe the economy started opening a little bit sooner than some people had imagined. So in terms of transportation revenue that's coming in, the picture doesn't look as bad as we might have thought. We are seeing a positive increase in funding that goes to transportation, whether that's the transportation investment fund or the transportation fund or local option sales taxes. So that's it for the COVID impacts. Does anyone have any questions about the data I showed? And I'll send that around so you guys have the sources and the graphics that I showed as well. Okay. So besides seeing more people staying within the area for shopping, have you guys noticed any other kind of dramatic shift at the, since March, whether it's travel or how people are recreating? Or have you guys noticed your sales tax revenue declining or maintaining or being neutral?
You know, really doing just what you said, it's been increasing. It's a delay by the time we see it, but it has gone up dramatically. So,
okay.
I was just gonna say, Morgan County's actually ahead in. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just gonna say our home sales have tripled and quadrupled. So, you know, there's a huge demographic shift going on that we've been in the middle of. So I just got done with a group, a couple from LA who are getting the hell out of LA is how they put it. But we've just sold houses every couple of days to people from New York and LA and Atlanta and Seattle. And they're all buying their second homes like they normally would, but they're all planning to stay here instead of going back. Oh. And they're in no hurry to go back. So I think at least the county, our county, and probably everywhere in Utah, we're going to have massive changes of people showing up buying things. And that's going to cause a lot of traffic and a lot of demographic change. And I don't think it's going to change. I think it's going to stay that way for a long time because we're not in a big hurry to get back to New York. So the growth rate, I think, just went exponential all of a sudden.
Yeah, I noticed that in my neighborhood, we in Salt Lake, they're doing Safe Streets program where they closed a few of the streets to traffic unless it was through traffic and you could walk and bike and whatever. So we live on one of those streets and so we've been meeting a lot of people. There's a significant number of people who have come from California and are going to stay and are looking to buy houses. And we're like, no, we're buying a house. Please don't buy houses in our neighborhood because you have a lot more money than we do. So that's also happening, I think, in Salt Lake City as well.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, Morgan County has, we're a little ahead of where we were last year on building permits, even with everything that's going on. So it hasn't impacted us at all on that end.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's good news and bad news that you guys are seeing still demand for housing in the area. Speaking of Morgan County, you guys, the next agenda item was just that you were starting to create a corridor preservation prioritization process. And I just wanted to see if there was an update there or if there's anything that the RPO can do to help you.
So I'll take that one. We have been working at the COG on that. We just started with the priorities and policy recommendations. It's interesting because we're the only eligible applicant. We only have the one incorporated city and then we have the county. And so I think a lot of that prioritization, we're going to take a step back and make it like a 10-year list with the county. So I'm having our road supervisor and the county road supervisor go through just a list of projects. Some of them, we only have a handful of roads that we're even eligible for for maintenance because of the collectors and the arterial roads. We only have a handful of those. And right now, our intent as the city is just to see if we can't leverage some of those funds for our bridge project that's just getting started right now at the end of Young Street. We're just right in the middle of figuring out the best way to prioritize those funds. But we don't view it as a big complicated matrix because we're not going to have a lot of, well, one, we don't have a lot of funds. It's about $80,000 a year. I can't remember if that's the right number, but it's not a lot per year. And then we don't have any areas identified as far as purchasing right of way at this point. So.
Okay.
We did, Julie, we appreciate your help though. The help you gave us was very, very helpful. And the COG appreciates the help you gave as you helped us put those papers together for starters. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And then Morgan City also, you just adopted a local option sales tax for transportation.
Correct. So this is the first local option sales tax that we've adopted in the county. The city did a resolution last year in support of, we tried to encourage the county to adopt it countywide, and it didn't go anywhere. So this was the first quarter that we adopted, and we left the third quarter on the table. So that's one of the three options that we have. We just adopted it, and based on the timing and how all that works, I don't think we're going to see the revenue until like January.
So you, it will be enacted in September, is that right? You'll start collecting revenue in September, or?
No, there was a waiting period, and then it went to the next quarter. So I can't remember how that scheduled out, but I don't think we didn't do it before October would be the starting period. So
okay.
Anyway, we think it could be October, but we think that it won't really go into effect until October, and then the tax won't be imposed until January. That's
okay.
But if you have better information on that, then that wouldn't hurt to figure out when that might become effective.
I don't have a pen here. No, I thought that it was, sorry, Blaine, you can stand up. I thought it would be a little bit earlier, but I can double check that.
Okay.
And so this thing that you, the first quarter can be used for maintenance or construction of new roads, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. Congratulations on getting that passed.
And it can be used, it can also be used for bond payments, I think. So that's kind of the revenue source because our portion of the bridge at the end of Young Street's $1.8 million. And so there's a very high likelihood that we're gonna have to bond for a remaining balance on that project. And our plan is to use that that new revenue for that bond payment until we get that paid off. So.
Oh. And that bridge will also include an active transportation component, right? You were hoping to get like a bike ped trail next to it or something?
Well, at least a pedestrian portion of the bridge, because it's right at the end of our trail system. So.
Okay. Speaking of funding, there's just three things I wanted to bring up in terms of funding. And Christopher, you're on the phone, right?
Yep.
Okay. Christopher is going to just give a little update on the UDOT Transportation Investment Fund and Transit Transportation Investment Fund program and their upcoming applications.
So just wanted to remind everybody, we should be having a call for applications in October of this year for TTIF, which is our transit, or TIF active. So if you have projects that you would like to get some money from the TIF apportionment for active transportation, then please look at that as an option. And we'll be having an initial call for applications in October. So if you have any further questions or want more details, you can go to our website at UDOT and look up the project prioritization process and we'll kind of show you how that works. So, or if you have any questions, you want me to come and talk to you individually, more than happy to do that as well.
So the UDOT, the TIF money for active transportation is only along state highways. No,
not they changed it. Yeah, okay. I think you can do it for local roads as well.
Okay. Okay. So those, yeah, are online, but feel free to reach out to Christopher or me if you want to apply for TTIF or TIF funding for active transportation. And like Christopher said, that's in October. Then I wanted to also just make you guys all aware of this new toolkit that FHWA is releasing for this Routes Initiative, which stands for the Rural Opportunities to Use Transportation for Economic Success. And so basically what it is the online webpage and also document that presents all of the funding programs that are open for discretionary grant funding that's open for rural areas. And so you can see all of the different funding sources, if they can be used for planning, construction, operations, technical assistance, so things like planning or education. And it also tries to streamline the application process to make it a little bit clearer to, let me try to figure out where that was. So the toolkit will, as you go through this, you'll find, I'm trying to find the actual document. Oh, there we go, PDF. So this, it kind of goes through and talks about what discretionary funding is, the role of FHWA, and then provides some more explanation about how discretionary grants are done. So the timeline of them, when you would need to apply, when you might hear. So it kind of gives you this applicant roadmap and then goes through and like I said, shows you all the different applications. So I'm just pointing this resource out to you in case you're eligible for, in case a project that you have is eligible for any of this money, that you would be able to get. This kind of simplifies the discretionary grant sources and kind of streamlines the applications. So I know UDOT has gotten money in the past for, let me go back to that. Has gotten build grants and infra grants for projects here in the Wasatch Front region. For instance, the 56 West Wyoming and Bridge that's over the over the railroad tracks by I-80 and 56 West in Salt Lake was an infra grant. There's been build grants for some transit projects we've received. But there's also things in here for airports and for rail safety. So think about any of the, maybe go through this and think about any of these funding sources for some of your projects in Morgan County and the Ogden Valley. And if you need help applying for any of these or figuring out if any of your projects are eligible, Christopher and I are here to help you kind of find other funding sources than state and local funding. But like I said, that will be linked in this presentation when I send it around. And then the last funding, I just wanted to mention, these are two UDOT programs for access transportation. But the only reason I'm really mentioning them now is that the UDOT has the local governments program when they usually come out in the early part of the spring and middle of summer to kind of explain UDOT programs and what projects that UDOT has in the area, and those were canceled. So I'm just bringing these two up as a reminder that projects in Ogden Valley and Morgan County are eligible for Safe Routes to School funding and safe sidewalk funding. The Safe Routes to School funding is to help improve safety and encourage students to walk to and from school. There's no match requirement. Morgan City has received two of these recently for last fiscal year and then next fiscal year. And remind me what the two projects were. You got about $100,000 on each one.
Yeah, so one was on Young Street from State Street to the elementary school. And the other one is on 100 South from, anyway, 100 West to 300 West. So it's one block away from State Street, but on the opposite side of the where the schools are. So that one got funded, but the one that was, we applied for one that was directly behind the middle school from the high school, and it didn't get funded, but the other one did. And we broke it into two projects to make sure that our priority one got funded and wasn't jeopardized by our priority two. Priority two got funded and our top priority didn't get funded. So now there's gonna be new sidewalk and a gap with no sidewalk.
Yeah.
So we might apply again, but I might want some help on deciding if maybe the safe sidewalk would be better than the safe route to school as far as priority or competitiveness.
So the safe sidewalks is new construction along state routes where sidewalks do not currently exist. So it has to be adjacent to state highways in an area where there's significant pedestrian traffic, but I think that significant is a relative term. And it should be in what they're considered an urban area. So I think downtown Morgan City is an urban area. So Christopher could probably answer that question better about which one's more competitive, the safe routes to school or the safe sidewalks.
I need to dig a little more into those. I'm not familiar with them. I'll dig a little more and then get back to you, Ty.
Okay. The other, on the bottom here, I have Travis's phone number. He's the Active Transportation Safety Program Manager, who is in charge of both those programs. But I just bring this up because there's a lot of state highways that are going through both Huntsville, Morgan City, and generally the area around the reservoir. And there's also other schools in those two areas that could be eligible for safe routes to school funding. So on project updates, this is sort of open. If anyone had anything about the projects that are on the plan. So the plan, just to remind you, if you go to our website and go down on committees, the Morgan County Ogden Valley Rural Planning Organization, then this is the website where all of our meeting agendas and recordings and minutes are. And if you go here to helpful links and downloads, there's the long range plan. So this is the, hold on, it has to load. So this is the plan incorporating comments that I received last time we talked about it. And let me just pull it up a different way. Yeah, so if you go down to the recommendations, then you'll see the list of projects, and they're broken down into near-term, mid-term, and long-range improvements. And so I know there's been Yonge Street Bridge is starting construction soon, and I know that, John, you were talking with Brooke about getting some funding for the Fairways Drive, was it?
Right.
So I didn't know if anyone had any updates they'd like to share with the group about any of the projects that are on this improvements list. Did you end up applying, John, for third quarter local option sales tax funding?
No, not yet.
Okay. If there's anything we can do to help with applications for funding or identifying funding sources to move forward any of these projects, let me know.
Yeah,
that's what
sure.
The RPO is here for. But anyway, just a reminder that the plan is online with the projects that are on the plan, and there's also some funding sources in the appendix. And also let me know if there's any updates to these projects, if they're completed or under construction or anything. It'd be good to kind of move forward with some of the projects that you guys all determined were needed in the near term. Okay.
So Julie, is this document is it on your guys' website, on W1C's website?
Yeah, it's on our website, just right here. If you went down to the committees page, committees, and then Morgan County Ogden Valley Rural Planning Organization down here, and helpful links and downloads. There's also information in there. Oh, I like to close it. About growth rates and safety and other things that you might need for any kind of application for funding. But if there's other data we can provide, also let us know about that. And then the last agenda item is just if there's any other business or updates on related studies, if there's large developments that are going in or anything else that you guys would like to add. Okay. Well, if not, that's all I had for today. But like I said, feel free to reach out to me anytime if there's something that you want to discuss that we can help you with, or if you want to bring something up to the larger group. Our next meeting is in October. So I won't keep you any longer than we need, unless someone has something else to add.
Just want to thank you again, Julie, for your help and your support. The things that we have done and you've lent your support to us have been very, very helpful. So thank you for your expertise and your willingness to assist us.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Julie. This is great.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Do you need to close the meeting or